Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Job, chapter 22, verses 21 to 28. And it reads, "Agree with God and be at peace. In his way, good will come to you. Receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness from your tents, if you treat gold like dust and the gold of Ophir like the stones of the torn bed, and if the Almighty is your gold and your precious silver, then you will delight yourself in the Almighty and lift up your face to the God. You will pray to him and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will decide on a matter and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So I continue this sermon series on prayer, and I'm so thankful for Terry and Gaius who shared their faith last Sunday. This morning we look at Job and see how his life was and how he turned to prayer in time. But let us pray ourselves first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that these words speak your truth as we see in the scriptures. And Lord, we ask that you know we reflect on these words to reflect your will for us. And may these be acceptable in your sight, for you are our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer. Amen. So when I was growing up, my grandma Mary had a best friend. Her name was Thyra. My sister, Thyra Lee, is actually named after her. And my grandma Mary's best friend, Thyra, was a very devout, religious Catholic woman. And a lot of times I would hear the phrase from her, "I have the faith of Job." She would say that often when things happened in her life. I remember once playing with her grandchildren. They were about my age, and a neighbor's dog came and bit one of the granddaughters. And it was a crazy mess, and the kids were screaming, and the granddaughter had been bit by the dog, and Thyra came out and said, "Oh, I have the faith of Job. I can handle this situation." Or another time, I remember my grandma Mary saying how Thyra's house was damaged, and I said, well, what happened to the house? Apparently, a neighbor's tree fell on the side of Thyra's house. And again, the response was, "Thyra has the faith of Job. She can withstand anything." And even later in life, when Thyra's husband died in a car accident, and I remember being at the funeral service and everyone mourning and comforting her and going up to her and offering condolences, often it was said that Thyra, even in this time, had the faith of Job. When we talk about the faith of Job, we must understand what happened in Job's life, how he was known to be a righteous, a faithful, a well-respected man in the community. And Job was so well-respected and so well-known that people thought he had great strength. We measure strength in physical and emotional categories. They say you have great physical strength, and it can be measured by the number of push-ups you can do, or the way that you can walk through a windstorm and not be harmed physically. You can measure physical strength in those ways. Or they say you might have emotional strength, your mental stability is sound and fine and strong, and even when faced with tough times, you are the strong person. You might not shed a tear. You might be the one that comforts people who are not feeling well because you have that emotional strength. But what we look at Job and the story of his life, it's not the emotional or the physical strength that kept him going, but it was his spiritual strength, his trust and faith in God. So we know in this passage from this morning, we see that Job is having a conversation with his friends. And Job himself was a wealthy man, they say, living in the land of Uz. He had quite a large family. He had many flocks. He had fortune. He had home. They say he had many, many tents. They also say that Job, they say, was blameless and upright, always in God's favor. But then, in the beginning of this passage, beginning in the book of Job, we see Satan. The passage, the book of Job, calls Satan the adversary, the person who questions God. And God, he is boasting to Satan about Job's goodness, how faithful Job is, how upright he is, what a great a beacon of faith he is in his community. But Satan, the adversary, he challenges God. He says to God, "Really, is Job faithful? Is Job so upright? Is Job so true to you because of the blessings that you have given him? Or is Job that way because he truly is faithful to you?" There was always this question of being in God's favor and receiving God's blessings, that God would multiply your family, that God would give you flocks, that God would give you wealth, that God would give you home. So Satan is saying, is the only reason Job is so upright and so righteous and so faithful to you because you, God, have given him all these things to be thankful for. It's kind of a roundabout circle. But God says, no, Job is faithful to me. He has that spiritual strength that I desire. It is not because I have given him blessings. God even says, I believe this so much that I am letting you, Satan, test Job. So Satan does that. He does test Job. And they say in the course of one day, Job hears four disturbing messages. And in these messages, he hears the news that first, his livestock, the things that help him make money to become wealthy, the livestock all have died suddenly. Then he also hears that the servants, the one that have helped him watch the livestock, the one that have helped make his meals, the one that have helped keep his home, that the servants also have died. And then one of the other messages that is most damaging to Job is that his children, all 10 children, they say, have died. Things that have caused these deaths in the livestock and the servants and in the children are, they say, invaders who have invaded Job's home, or natural catastrophes that have happened in the environment. Different reasons have caused all this loss for Job. For him to hear the news of this loss in one day, you can imagine, can be quite frightening. But God knows that Job will be faithful. God knows that Job can remain faithful to him and not lose his faith. Satan, it appears, is giving Job all these struggles and trials, but God, yes, is letting this happen. But God knows that Job will remain faithful. So imagine yourself in Job's position and you have experienced this great tragedy, the loss of livestock, the loss of servants, and most importantly, the loss of your children, your loved ones. And what is your reaction to this? Job himself enters a time of mourning, as was tradition of those times. They say for 7 days he was in mourning, and during those days he had 3 friends who visited him. His friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, visited him, and you would think the friends would come to bring comfort. What do you do when you have a loved one pass away? Don't you try to comfort the remaining relatives of that loved one or friends? Don't you try to make things better in a way, or offer condolences or your sympathy because you can understand the loss that that loved one has experienced? One of my good friends from high school, her father recently passed away. And he passed away at the age of 88, and they all along before he passed away were trying to encourage him to keep mentally up. They would play games with him like dominoes and unos and things that would make their father think to keep his mind sharp even in his last days. So at his father's funeral and the reception later, when we went into the church hall, on the table they had all these board games. And it sounds kind of funny to see board games at a funeral reception, but people slowly began to play the board games in honor of my friend's father. It was weird to see at a funeral reception people playing Uno and every once in a while someone shouting out, Uno! And then the cheers that went off after someone won. But that was a way they were honoring the father and then also helping in a way make them less sad, to bring joy to the visitors' lives, to also help the family. There are different ways that we help each other cope with grief. So then you think when Job's 3 friends visit him, they would help him cope during this time of grief. They would help him understand what God's will was that was happening in his life. But Job's friends, instead, they don't help. They actually make things worse for Job. They question Job's life. They say to Job, what did you do in your life that you sinned so greatly that God is punishing you? By taking away your livestock, by taking away your servants, by taking away your children. Job, you must have done something horrible. And poor Job, he is in this state of mourning, but he experiences not just one, not just two, but all 3 friends questioning him about this. I encourage you, if you have a chance, to read the book of Job. It's quite an interesting book. It itself is over 40 chapters long, and they say it kind of falls into 3 cycles. And the first, second, and third part of the book, the cycles, does contain his friends questioning what Job did. They say, Job, you must have hoarded your gold, Or Job, you must have neglected the homeless and never fed them. Or Job, you must have been wrong to your wife or your children or cheated on them. They are questioning Job. They're not making him feel better during his time of mourning. They're instead saying to him, you must have sinned so greatly in your life that God is now punishing you. Job's friends are wrong in what they're saying, but they're trying in a way to find a solution to why all these horrible things fell upon Job, because, I believe, they themselves are worried about their own lives, thinking and reflecting about their own lives and how they might have sinned. Did they themselves hoard gold? Did they themselves walk by a person in need of food and clothing? Did they themselves cheat on wife or family? They are saying to Job, what did you do so wrong that God has punished you? Because they know themselves that they might have done wrong. But there is a little bit of good advice in what his friends are saying to him. And that is why I chose this morning's scripture passage from Job 22. And in Job 22, verse 21, his friend Eliphaz says to him, first, agree with God and be at peace. In this way, goodwill will come to you. Receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. His friend is saying, no matter what is happening in your life, agree with God, accept it with peace. And that is one of the first things I want to think about when we go to God with our prayers. If you remember, I had us write down happy times in our lives in the past, and another time I had us write down joyful times that we've had in our lives. And when do you pray? We have a tendency to go to God in prayer when we are experiencing sadness, when we are experiencing pain, when we are afraid, when we are lost. But we must remember to go to God at all times. When, yes, we are experiencing loss and pain, but also when we are experiencing joy and blessings, to go to God in our prayers. And so I like that his friend Eliphaz is telling Job in this morning's passage to agree with God and be at peace. No matter what is happening in your life, agree with God and be at peace. So when we offer our prayers up to God, we must reconcile ourselves to God, to say to God that we put all these things that are happening in our lives in your hands, and we will receive instruction from God, and we will have his words in our heart. So his friends, even though they are attacking Job and accusing Job of being so sinful in his life that is why there's these things happening so wrongly, his friend Eliphaz is trying to tell him that you must agree with God what was happening in your life. And his friend goes on to instruct him, saying, if you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remove unrighteousness from your tent, if you treat gold like dust, and if the Almighty is your gold and your precious silver, then you will delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. We know that during this time, Job is in this time of mourning, and he probably doesn't want to hear a friend accusing him of doing wrong. Here, his friend is accusing him of worshiping gold or treating gold more precious than God. And it is understandable that his friend is saying to return to God, to not be lost. And Job, during all these trials, and even during all these times his friends are accusing him of doing wrong, they say that Job retained his integrity. Job never truly cursed God. Job never blamed God for all that was happening in his life. Job kept praying to God and being faithful to God. In Job 27, verse 3 and 4, Job says, as long as my breath is within me, and the spirit of the God is in my nostrils, my lips will not let speak falsehood, and my tongue will not utter deceit. Job knows that, yes, even though his friends are saying, examine your life and admit when you are wronged and when you have sinned, Job knows it is not a lie, that he has not sinned, that he has remained faithful, and he knows that he will never then curse God or dishonor God or blame God for all the bad that is happening in his life. Job's friend closes in 22 with verses 27 and 28 with a little more advice. And Job's friend tells him, you will pray to God and God will hear you. You will pay your vows and you will decide on a matter and it will be established for you and the light will shine on your ways. What wonderful advice this is. Finally, there is a glimmer of good news or good hope or encouragement given by Job's friend to him. Where his friend says, pray to God and God will hear you. His friend says, pay your vows to God, and then it will be decided and established for you, and a light will shine on your ways. For we know God himself later does answer Job. God even challenges Job and says, have you ever, Job, moved mountains? Have you created the animals? Have you made the sky and the oceans? No, I, God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, God has done all those things. And Job knows that and realizes that and remains faithful because he knows that it is not God to blame for all that bad that has happened in his life, but it is what is happening. So it truly shows what God was telling Satan, that Job is not faithful because of the blessings in his life. Job is faithful because he has spiritual strength. He knows he can pray to God. He knows he can reach out to God. And he knows God is always there with him. Job truly understands God's will for him. So when we talk about our life and in our prayers, we must remember to pray to God because God, yes, does hear us. We must tell God what our fears are, what our hopes are, and what our dreams are. But we must understand that it is God's will for us to have these things happen. It is not our will to make these things happen. And then I love how Job's friend says to him at the end of this morning's passage that it will be established for you and a light will shine on your ways. How prophetic are these words, because God did bring the light to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And as we take communion later, as we remember the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed for us, we must remember that Christ came as a light to the world. So you yourselves, when you are in dark times, or when a tree falls on your house, or you lose a loved one in an accident, we hope those things will never happen in your life. But there are times in our lives where we will be down, when we will experience loss, when we will be uncertain of what is happening. But we must remember to be like Job, who kept his spiritual strength, his faith and trust in God, and never let those waver. Job never blamed God or cursed God, even when his friends said, you must have done wrong, or why aren't you angry at God? Job kept his faith. So when we go to God in prayer, and I hope you go to God in prayer daily, remember to thank God, yes, for the blessings in your life, but for the way that God has made you stronger in your spiritual strength, and for the way that God sees you through all the hard times, all the good times, and all the days of your life. Let us pray. Lord, we know we must have faith like Job, to turn to you when we are lost, to turn to you when we are joyful, and to remember that even in our deepest, darkest, hardest times, you are always there for us. For if our faith is challenged, we hope that we have the spiritual strength that Job had, to never curse you, to never blame you, Lord, but to be always thankful for your presence in our life. For you give us the gift of light through your Son, Jesus Christ, who brings us eternal life with you. We pray these things in his name. Amen.
We have some extra worship leaders with us this morning. We come now to our time of Holy Communion together. Hear these words of invitation. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by the water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family in all the world joining in his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ is risen, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours. Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We invite you now to come forward for communion. We will actually encourage you also, after you take communion, as you usually do, go to the altar rails, to the kneeling rails, to take time to pray. And I appreciate that Andy will help guide the people when the rails are more available and guide the line. So come as you are able to receive communion.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Full obedience, holy rest.
Lord, I knew the way, the sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hellbound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Hallelujah.
We are so thankful of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us, whose blood was shed for us. For we know, Lord, that even in our darkest times and even when we have sinned, we have a way to reconcile back with you. We make this available through your Son, Jesus Christ, who we will walk with and serve and reach out to the people just as he did. We will also pray the prayer that he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Now it's time for offering. Can I ask the ushers to come forward? All rise for our doxology. Please remain standing for the prayer of dedication. Dear Heavenly Father, you have blessed us in many ways, Lord. As we donate these funds this morning, Lord, we ask you to put your blessings on these gifts, Lord. And Lord, we pray that the use of these funds can continue your work in this church and also in our communities, Lord. We pray for these things this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Now it's time in our service for announcements. There's various announcements on the right-hand side of your bulletin. And is there any announcements from the floor? Kimmy?
So if you haven't noticed, it's Girl Scout cookie time. And we'll be selling cookies at church near Chinese New Year weekend. But if there's something specific that you want and you want to make sure you get the boxes that you want, put in an order with Kathleen, Hannah, or Katie, and we'll figure it out from there.
Okay. Any other announcements?
All are encouraged to invite friends and family to Chinese New Year Sunday on February 19th, I think. We will have worship together. We will have a fun Children's Sunday message, and we will have a delicious Chinese New Year luncheon after the Chinese service as well. And I think we would like to take our annual English ministry group photo that Sunday, so be sure to come, and also of course encourage you to invite family and friends to attend as well. Thanks.
All right. Is there any other announcements? Okay. If not, please rise for the closing hymn.
For love to thee, O Christ, joy I crave, soft peace and rest. Of thee alone I see, give for this mess. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee. Let sorrow do its work, calm grief and pain. Sweet are thy messenger, sweet their refrain. When they can't see with me, more love of Christ to thee, more love to parting cry, my heart shall rest. This prayer shall be.